Okay, I want to bring on our next guest today. We have with us Steve Gross. He is with the Playmakers. He is with Project Joy, which is a great organization that's helping children overcoming life-threatening challenges like poverty and violence and illness to experience play because they don't get enough play when they're going through that stuff. So, Steve, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm honored to be here.
Well, it's an honor to have you because your organization, Project Joy, sounds like a wonderful concept. Tell us how you got started in it and tell us why it became such an important mission for you to get this thing off the ground.
Now, I'm embarrassed to ask you this question first, but am I talking with Dr. Fitness or the fat guy?
This is Dr. Fitness right now. The fat guy is the smartass. He's the guy you'll know.
Is he there too?
He's in here too. He's more of like a sniper.
I'm the more whiny voice.
Yes.
That's how you can tell us about it.
Now, you all sound good. Just a couple quick things. One is that Project Joy, although it was an organization that I founded probably 22 years ago, we are now merged with a company you probably know called Life is Good. It's a clothing company.
First of all, they're our favorite clothing company of all time.
All right. Well, they've been like, you know, I grew up with the Life is Good boys for, you know, we go way, way back. And
John and Bert.
Yes. Yeah, John and Bert, good buddies of mine. And John and I actually lived together in college.
Oh, nice.
When I started Project Joy, John and Bert were struggling. I think they had like $70 in their bank account, mooching money off of me, and had this dream of starting a T-shirt company. But their dream really was more about kind of how do you spread the power of optimism. And so T-shirts was one vehicle that they knew, but the mission was, okay, how do we help people see life and its possibilities, life being good, not life being perfect, but life being good, and amidst all the trials and tribulations and challenges, that there are always things to be grateful for and always things to appreciate. So as we grew, you know, Project Joy was founded, and it was a program that used play as a way of healing and strengthening children whose lives had been deeply impacted by different types of trauma.
Right.
And then John and Bert started their T-shirt company, and before long, they you know, they tapped into a real chord in the world, and they grew into a multi-million-dollar company. So what any young social entrepreneur does when they try to start a nonprofit is they tap into any friend who has more than a quarter in their bank account. So I, you know, hooked on to Bert and John and said, hey, guys, come on, you got to help me. We're doing a fundraiser. Can you make some T-shirts? Can you make a donation? Can we do some different things together? And before long, we kind of looked at each other and said, you know, we're doing the same thing. We're both of our organizations are committed to try to spread the power of optimism. And we do it right now through some products, but you're doing it through engagement in a community with children who don't always wake up in the morning thinking that life is good.
Right.
And so let's come together, and we decided to merge the Life is Good Kids Foundation, which was their charitable organization, with Project Joy, and we developed the Life is Good Playmakers. And the Life is Good Playmaker initiative is about, as you said, helping children to overcome life-threatening challenges, like growing up in poverty or growing up amidst violence or growing up with severe illness. And we do so by empowering the men and women on the front lines who are already working with these kids, whether they're preschool teachers, daycare providers, counselors, social workers, youth workers. And we provide those folks with training, support, and resources so that they can play the central role in helping these kids to heal and grow by engaging the world playfully.
Now, Steve, does that mean taking them out of their environment and putting them into into a different environment, or is that taking their environment that they're in and structuring it where they can have where you're doing games with them?
All they need is T-shirts.
Well, I know those T-shirts make a big difference.
That's the fat guy.
You heard him there.
I get what you're talking about. No, you know, it's not about changing the environment. It's about changing the way you see the environment.
I see.
And again, you know, I mean, there's opportunities for joy all around us. There's opportunities for loving connection all around us. There's ways we can find moments of peace and empowerment all around us, ways that we can tap into creativity all around us. So it's a great question because we used to do it that way. You know, when Project Joy originally started, we used to pick up kids in a van and we'd bring them to a mini utopia.
Right.
You know, this gym that we developed that was bright and colorful with great music and mats and ropes and all these different kind of things so that kids could have this kind of, like, incredible playroom. But we started to realize that, you know, and I heard a very wise man once say, you know, in the perfect world, there's really no need for playgrounds. You know, the entire world should be a playground. The entire world should be a safe place for kids to be able to explore.
That's Captain Kangaroo said that. Right?
It was a Captain Kangaroo?
I think so.
I thought it was Orville Redenbacher, but I may be wrong.
Could have been.
But you know, that the idea of we can change the way we engage the world, we can change the way we see the world, and it's really not about play as an activity, but playfulness as a way of going about your life, which is obvious what you guys do.
Right.
I mean, playfulness, which we define as, you know, a child's motivation to freely and joyfully engage with, connect with, and explore the world around them. And so as adults, we have the opportunity to make any environment playful by kind of changing our approach and our engagement. You know, I think about that movie, Life is Beautiful, I think, with the father trying to protect his child from the concentration camp in Germany.
With Benigni.
Kind of, yeah, in engaging the world a certain way, creating fantasy, creating kind of a joy and wonder just by the relationship that you have with children. So we're very much about not changing the, you know, pulling kids out of the environment, but trying to make environments that are more playful.
And that's more scalable, I would think. You know, you can only make so many playrooms. But this,
yeah, I mean, definitely.
Everything is your playroom.
Well, and, you know, this idea that it's very arrogant, you know, early on for us to think, okay, we're going to go and we're going to teach people how to play. You know, we're going to go into, let's say, in the case in Boston, a poorer inner city community, and we're going to tell everyone there, you know, how they should be raising their children. Well, there's experts that are on the ground all around those kids. There are people who have dedicated their lives from those very same communities to helping their children overcome adversity and helping their children to tap into joy and love and creativity. And so what we need to do is not come in there and try to do all the work, but to simply support the people that are already there doing the work and to share our expertise, combine it with their expertise, and then we have a real collaboration and a real partnership. And that's, I think, the nicest thing about Playmakers and the most effective. It allows communities to kind of grow and heal from within.
Now, Steve, what is it like for you on a day-to-day basis with Project Joy? Are you like mostly working with kids, or are you mostly behind the scenes now trying to do more things to grow?
There's a lot of hopscotch and hula hooping.
Yeah,
and,
I hope that's what it is.
Okay, well, you know, I wake up at 6:30 and I do like about an hour and 45 minutes of hopscotch.
There, you got it.
And hula hoop.
Little four square.
Once I'm done with that, and I, you know, I usually have a Yoo-Hoo in the morning and a couple of Pop-Tarts.
There you go.
And once I'm done there, you know, at Playmakers now, we've kind of, not that we've given up working directly with kids, but we've changed our role so that we're primarily doing training and consultation and support for folks who are doing the work. We are behind the scenes now more. So although we still go out in the field a lot and do work and play with kids so we can stay as authentic as possible, our real work is as a training and support organization.
Yeah, that's...
So it's a little bit of an adjustment, you know, because we're not doing a lot of direct service. We're not in classrooms all day with kids. We spend a lot of time, you know, again, talking with, training, supporting a wide range of child care professionals who are working with really at-risk children.
And where do you see Project Joy going? Where do you see the future of it?
Man, that's a great question. You know, and I have a meeting with our board of directors to talk about some of those same things.
Just put them on the phone.
I
would love to.
They told us to ask you that question. That's kind of funny you mentioned
that. Just get
them
on the phone now. Instead of having two meetings, we'll do it right now.
Here's my vision. You know, and here's the vision that we have. Part of what we want to be able to do is to actually create a training and retreat center that I'm not exactly sure how many or where they're located, that are committed to supporting frontline child care providers throughout the country and maybe eventually throughout the world who are working with children who are fighting real hard to overcome a lot of the unfair challenges that life may throw at them. and a place where teachers, psychologists, counselors, social workers can go to not only reconnect with their own sense of joy and hopefulness and passion and creativity, but then be able to look at different ways that they can transmit that knowledge and those feelings to the children with whom they work. Because you know, that's
great.
A really important piece of this puzzle is you can't spread something that you don't have yourself.
Right.
And I think, you know, when you, the more, in my experience, sometimes adults, the more, you know, wounded and vulnerable the children that they work with. So when you work with kids, let's say who've been subject to severe abuse or neglect or violence, a lot of ways that kids change from those experiences, that their brains and their bodies change from kind of joyful, loving, playful children into children who are really maybe frightened or angry or wounded. And so when you work with children on a day, you know, day-to-day basis, sometimes that can be a really difficult job.
Right.
Because you get kids and you're not just seeing the normal joy and love that we come to expect from working with children.
Right.
So you see other things and you start to feel the pain of those children. And if you yourself as a teacher or as a counselor can't maintain your own sense of hopefulness and joy and creativity, well, it's almost impossible to help children to see that.
Sure.
So, I mean, we really need to take care of the people in the world who are caring for our most vulnerable children. And that's what, you know, Life is Good Playmakers are really all about. You know, we love to you know, kind of have an army of men and women who are committed to helping children, you know, sustain their potential for joy, peace.
Right.
And, you know, being able to see the world as wide open for possibility.
Well, it's a wonderful organization. I know that we know the Life is Good folks, and they have just not only do they have phenomenal merchandise. Definitely our favorites. We love their stuff, but they've created.
Does the fat guy? Can I ask the fat guy?
Yeah,
question?
Sure. Go ahead.
You got any Life is Good clothes in your wardrobe, man?
I don't think they go up to my size.
No, he has a bunch of.
I have a Life is Good tent that I use.
Now, are you a double XL? Because I'll send you something, man. I mean, triple or double XL.
He likes an L. He's only an L. He likes them tight,
okay.
You know? He likes them a little tight. And
I like the wicking.
Okay, yeah, we have a wicking fat. You sweat a lot?
I'm a sweater.
I understand, man. We'll get you something.
Well, listen,
and,
it's the greatest.
Yeah, no, I just needed to know.
Well, first of all, they're great people, and also they also create these great events too. I think they just finished one on Labor Day. There was a Life is Good as notorious,
like a community event.
Yeah, the community events where they bring in bands and music and give back,
yeah,
to the community.
Yeah, we had a huge 2-day music.
Yeah,
festival.
Jason Mraz was there. As a bunch of who else was there? A bunch of great top level.
Yeah, Jason Mraz, Ziggy Marley.
Ziggy Marley
Ben
was
Hopper,
there. Yeah,
Kareem Bailey Ray.
Yes, and this is all to help the community. And and I know they do about 4 events a year all across the United States. And and if people want to contribute, Steve, to the organization, they can go to lifeisgood.com/foundation. Is that where?
Yeah,
they can...
or just, you know, if you don't feel like backslashing, because I can never find it on my computer, just go to lifeisgood.com, and right on the splash page, you'll see a link to the foundation and to the Playmakers. There's lots of information on there, and there's ways to contribute, and then to. You know, we even have a Life is Good Facebook page, which will keep you posted of other events and festivals. But, you know, Life is Good, that the approach is just so conducive to all sorts of things, not just clothing and apparel. But, you know, I mean, I someday see Life is Good having their own record label.
Right.
And all promoting, you know, artists that are, you know, that are singing about and you know, bringing art to the world that is really all about possibility and optimism. And the festivals are just a great way to bring people together, to listen to inspiring music, to play. If Dr. Fitness, you might be tossing a football and a frisbee and hanging around for the fat guy.
I'll be at the buffet.
Get a corn dog.
Yeah,
that's right. Listen,
good food and chill out and lay down a blanket and just listen to some good music. You know.
Listen, we know that they have Jake and they have a girl now. We want Dr. Fitness and the fat guy part of Jake, and
we need the fat stick figure.
You know what? I'm willing to work. You know, I don't have a lot of pull in the actual company part because I'm the chief playmaker of the foundation, But for the right price, man, we will make a Jake.
That's we got to do that.
I like the idea.
Well, we got to do it. And
it's more snowman-like. That's all.
Well, Steve.
You know, we have the whole Jake by the barbecue grill. You've seen
that
one. You got him sitting in an Adirondack chair.
Yeah. Steve, I have about – there's got to be about 20 shirts I have. I have them for every day of the week, Life is Good shirt. So I probably have the whole line. Mm-hmm. But anyway, you guys have been fantastic. We love the message that you guys are promoting. And whatever Dr. Fitness of Fact I can do to help Project Joy, please let us know. We'd love to be a part of it and help you guys in any way
we are really grateful. And again, you know, I mean, I think just the whole piece about, you know, what I'd like people to take from this, you know, a couple things is, number one, when you look at the people that we have in our society that are caring for kids who have been through a lot, whether they're a child life specialist at a hospital or a social worker or a preschool teacher at a daycare center, I mean, these people, in my opinion, are really the heroes of society. You know, they will dictate whether we reach our potential as humanity, you know, in terms of how we raise our youngest, most vulnerable citizens.
Right.
And so to be able to celebrate them and at least give them some of the support that they need to do sometimes what's almost an impossible job, you know, that's a, you know, a really important piece, that any opportunities you have to kind of support those folks is tremendous, and please direct them our way. And the other is just what you guys already do and the way you live your lives, you know, that to look at this concept of playfulness as a trait, that we need to fight hard to protect playfulness in children.
Right.
I think we're forcing kids to grow up too fast and be in school environments that somehow, or school environments or counseling environments, which if we're not careful, they're not very joyful, loving, creative, peaceful places.
Right,
and we have to be committed to making sure that they stay that way.
Absolutely. Even in the playful environment where the kids try to play sports, and then all of a sudden they have to not only just have fun playing them, but they have to become professional athletes.
Right, it's too
competitive. Or they have to excel at the sport rather than just focusing on the fact that they're playing and happy and really just love being outside, you know, kicking a ball or whatever it is. But
definitely. I mean, I would say that, you know, at least in Boston, when you go around to Little League fields or soccer fields, there's a huge number of kids who are not playing baseball or soccer. They're working baseball
right.
or soccer.
You know,
I mean, the activity
right.
may look like play,
but it's not.
But if it's done without kind of joy and fun and
right.
passion and creativity and support, then it's not a playful experience.
Right. Yeah.
And in the same regard, you can have kids that are doing stuff that look traditionally like work, like, you know, studying mathematics.
Right.
But as you know, if you have the right professor who's interesting and takes an interest in you and is fun and creative, that can be play.
Sure.
You can actually play math.
Sure.
And you can work baseball. It just depends on the approach.
Right. Absolutely.
Kids don't need the kickball coach.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, you know, I don't like to brag about this, but in fifth grade, I led the league in home runs and kickball. And basically,
we heard
what
about
it meant
you, Steve.
Was I just wouldn't take, you know, I wouldn't take a single. You know, I'd ground the ball to the pitcher. I just keep running. You know, kids at that age aren't super coordinated. They throw it at you to try to get you out at first. You just keep going. You say
keep
it's
going.
A home run.
That's right. Absolutely.
We didn't talk about errors back then.
Only home runs. Steve, thank you so much. We really appreciate taking the time coming on the show. And please let us know how we can help. And we're going to send you one of our books out, 35 Things to Know to Raise Active Kids, too. So
awesome, man.
Helps,
I can't wait to get it, look at it. And I appreciate all the work you guys are doing. And thanks for giving me the opportunity to talk to y'all.
Anytime, Steve. We'd love to have you back.
All right, man.
Have a great day.
I'll show up.
We know. Listen, we're from Jersey, so it's just like Boston.
Okay.
When we say something, we mean it.
Okay,
it's not
cool.
Like the South. Not like you know, where people say "bless his heart." No, we really mean it here.
Okay, cool. Well, aren't you in Atlanta?
We are, but we're still
Northerners.
Yeah, we were born in we're both born in Brooklyn, New York. So we're in the South.
The Yankees.
We're Yankees. We're Yankees.
We're not Yankees.
I'm a Yankee.
I got you.
He's a Dolphin, but I'm a Yankee. Anyway, well, listen, Steve. Have a great day. We look forward to talking in the near future.
Cool. Thanks, fellas.
Take care. That is Steve Gross with Life is Good. He is part of Project Joy. He is their CEO playmaker at Life is Good as well. So we really appreciate him coming on the show. What a great guy. Great information,
yeah,
Lee. Project Joy
awesome
is important
cause.
Stuff.